And welcome to Into It, the HuffPost UK entertainment podcast. Now, regular listeners might recognise that I am not Daniel Welsh, and that's because he is celebrating a very close friend's birthday in Las Vegas this week. Yes, that's right. I'm talking about Cher. Daniel has he's living it up over in the States at the moment. So instead, you've got me, Ash Percival, and as ever, I am joined by Rachel McGrath, and making her debut, it's HuffPost UK Lifestyle's very own Sophie Gallagher.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I just watched Harry Styles' Carpool Karaoke, so I'm feeling a bit giddy.
Wow, okay.
Ready to go.
That's a good intro to Into It, I feel, so you're all set. So today we're going to be chatting misguided TV commissions, celebrity diss tracks, and as well as all things Cheam. But before all of that, I want to talk to you about Piers Morgan. So this week he's caused a right old stir on Good Morning Britain because he's spoken about his views on gender and race identity. He was rather annoyed at the suggestion that boys should be allowed to wear skirts in school. I don't know whether you saw that this week. There was kind of a report that they should be allowed to. And so he went on and kind of this rant about gender neutrality, claiming that he should be able to now define himself as a black non-binary person. So then the following day, he then clashed with a non-binary couple who came on GMB and kind of tried to explain their gender to him. And he kind of turned around and flippantly asked if he could identify as an elephant to them. Now, needless to say, this caused quite a lot of outrage on Twitter. And the couple also accused him of fear-mongering. We have to say at this point, although some people were saying on Twitter about Piers maybe being transphobic, he did deny that. But he did come forward and say openly that he is non-binary phobic. Now, of course, Piers Morgan is no stranger to this podcast. We've regularly spoken about our views on Piers Morgan. But what I want to ask you this time is, do you think he's gone too far?
The whole way, the whole time, just for context, the whole time Ash was doing that like really amazing intro on it, our eyes were just all rolling as far back in our heads as possible. Obviously, I'm not Piers Morgan's biggest fan, and I'm just so sick of his bullshit, really.
Yeah. I think eye roll so hard, give yourself a migraine kind of stage here. But my gripe with Piers Morgan, I mean, aside from the fact that I don't agree with a lot of his views, is that actually when I watch something like that, I feel like he's a bad journalist. Fundamentally, the platform he's given, it's a lot of opinionated ranting. He speaks over other people constantly. He doesn't give them their airtime. So one of my main gripes with him, you know, hosting things like that, is just that he does it so badly. It's not even the things he's saying. It's the way he does it. It's the Piers Morgan show, isn't it?
Well, the thing is, this is the thing. Good Morning Britain is a news show, fundamentally. It's not an opinion show. It's kind of presenting the news, having guests on to interview them. It's not a news show. So the fact that Piers Morgan's kind of being given this platform to kind of spout his opinions, I'm like, well, the show is bigger than Piers Morgan.
It should be, shouldn't it?
Well, you would think it would be, because they've got some other great presenters on that show. You know, they've got Susanna Reid, they've got Kate Garraway, they've got Ben Shepherd. You don't see them sort of sat there spouting this kind of quite dangerous stuff. Like,
yeah, I think that's the thing as well. Like, first of all, Susanna Reid should be made a dame for putting up with him every day. I don't know how she does it. So, Dame Susanna aside, a lot of the things he says are really dangerous. And I just feel, obviously, that's my personal opinion, but to have someone sat on breakfast television as like everybody's at home having their tea before going to work, going on about how, oh, you know, people who say this about gender are like, I'm so over it, like, what a load of crap. I just think that can actually, you're being very dismissive of something that a lot of people feel.
Yeah.
And it's like you say, that's not his position to do that. He should be inviting them on, and, you know, they should be explaining how they view their gender or how they view labels. Like, yeah, it's just, it seems that every single guest they have on lately is just an intro into Piers's 3-minute monologue. Yeah. Manologue. You should call it that.
Mansplaining has. I think one thing I did, when you're saying about is it going too far in this particular incident, one thing I did read was Owl, who was one of the guests on the show, wrote yesterday that she was actually thankful to Piers because his monologue ended up meaning that what was meant to be a 3-minute segment ended up being a 15-minute feature. And so she was actually really glad that it had put something in the spotlight that hasn't really been on TV a lot. So in terms of did he go too far this time, I don't know.
I guess
maybe
it's prompted a lot of conversation.
It has,
as well,
absolutely.
Which is good that it's come out of it, hasn't it?
But Piers Morgan as an entity, I think, is just, he's had his airtime, hasn't he?
So. Well, do we think that ITV have got kind of a responsibility here? Because we've said that kind of some of the opinions that he says are quite dangerous. Do we think that ITV has kind of the obligation to kind of stop this? Should they be reining him in, or do you just think that they're kind of chasing the ratings?
I think to a degree they should. I think that, to be honest, he should feel a lot of the responsibility himself. Like, we're all journalists, like all three of us, and we all write things every day, and I feel a responsibility to do those things properly. If I'm writing an opinion piece or a blog, it'll include my opinion because that's what it is. If I'm doing a news story, it's my job to make sure that that's pretty unbiased. I just remembered what I did.
Apart from when we don't want it to be unbiased.
Apart from when it's trash, which we'll come on to later. But the thing with Piers is, I did this story a couple of weeks ago now. The ratings have gone up massively since he joined. So as much
they've
as
gone up by about 20%.
Yeah, it's
so they're
huge.
Now getting over a million viewers every
yeah,
day.
Yeah, for the first time. And this is a show that, like, when it came out, like, no one was tuning in. Like, someone might have accidentally left the telly on the night before and Good Morning Britain happened really late, and they would still turn it off. But, like, this is the thing, is just ITV at the end of the day is a commercial station. They need to sell ads, they need to make money, they need to hit headlines. And as long as Piers is pulling in viewers, we might not be watching, but plenty of people are.
I think what's interesting for me, like, you know, you watch shows like Big Brother and you watch X Factor, and the hosts of that have to remain impartial. It's their job to kind of sit back and just present what's there. And I think it's very interesting that a show so trivial as X Factor or Big Brother has a host that is obligated to do that. But then someone who's presenting, like, quite some serious topics is allowed then to just go off and give his sort of biased take on everything.
Well, he's meant to be conducting an interview, isn't he?
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah,
he's meant to be asking the questions of those people. And every time it just becomes the Piers Morgan show.
I think there's, like, a balance to be struck, because I think someone like Philip Schofield on This Morning, he's kind of got that kind of balance. Like,
Ash in a pro Philip Schofield sugar.
But no, to give him his due, he will call bullshit when he sees bullshit, but he doesn't go as far to bring himself into every argument. And I kind of think when you're dealing with kind of news and features, that's kind of where you should be at, I think.
I think they're finding quite a good balance on This Morning, because it's definitely, you know, everyone is you can look at GMB and you can say, well, how have they turned it around? It's Piers Morgan. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they've definitely, like, when Philip Schofield was interviewing Paul Burrell, and he was saying about he wasn't sure if he was going to sell his wedding or something, and Philip Schofield turned around and said, well, you made this much money from this interview. And he got, like, a bit snarky with him, but it was in order to get him to answer to something else.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't to serve his own purposes and to hit headlines as, like, Philip Schofield.
I think you can have TV personalities. So when you think about, like, Holly and Phil, you know, people, there's something that's synonymous with that show, and people will go to the show to watch that. There's a difference between having personalities who, you know, are allowed to steer an interview in a particular way, like you were just referencing then, and then someone who just is all about them.
Yeah, it's about them. Well, I think on that, we've given Piers Morgan quite enough airtime. So I think we should move on.
100%.
To some other Stop the World, I want to get off news. It's been revealed that ITV are planning to launch this new series called Ladiators. Now, it's not Gladiators, it is Ladiators. You did not hear that wrong. So essentially, it's a play on kind of the Gladiators format, but it will see, and I'm quoting here, hunky lads pitted against each other with their girlfriends on the sidelines before separately fighting it out to be crowned the ultimate lad, which is apparently a prize that's quite highly coveted. So The Sun reported the story this morning, and this is what their sneaky source told them. They said, TV producers wanted a tongue-in-cheek series that embraces lad culture. Ladiators will be a funny entertainment series and is certainly going to appeal to the Love Island fans, as couples appearing on the show will be fit, sexy, and have the stamina to take on the challenges. Can I just say, ITV, I'm right here.
yeah, Ash, when are we signing up?
No, what do we make of this kind of show? I know, Rachel, I'm going to come to you first, because I know you wrote a story on it this morning, and we're quite damning. But do you think this kind of show has a place in the schedules in 2017?
Well, I think I did a very unbiased report, quite frankly. No, it doesn't have a place. The idea of crowning someone ultimate lad makes me want to shrivel up into a ball and die. Like, can you think of anything worse? Like, I have a lot of problems with this idea of, like, a lad anyway, and this whole, like, lad culture vibe. And I don't think there are any kind of good connotations that come with it. Me and my friends sometimes joke about like lads in like a bit of a stupid way to take the piss out of it. But then occasionally I'll like encounter someone in life who really is like that and it terrifies me. And the idea that ITV are going to take all of those horrible people who harass you in clubs and put them at the front of this show with their girlfriends, it makes me feel physically sick.
So I thought lad culture had kind of died off a little bit. You know, we got rid of Nuts and we got rid of Zoo and, you know, all those magazines of that ilk. And I thought that we were turning a corner and we were moving away from it, but apparently not.
It kind of feels like 10 steps back in a way.
It does. It feels like 10 years ago. This is something that might have aired, you know, just before the millennium, but apparently not. I think one of the things that I take massive umbrage with is that it appeals to the... ITV have claimed they want to try and hook the Love Island audience. And as an avid Love Island fan, I am I'm frankly insulted by that insinuation. So, no, I am not a fan either, as Rachel said.
I just think as well, the kind of this whole sort of, you know, we had this conversation earlier when you were writing the story, Rachel, but the whole sort of heteronormativity of it all, it's just kind of very like... You know, society has moved on so much in terms of LGBT and in terms of lad culture and masculinity and what it means to be a man in the 21st century. This just seems like such a step backwards.
Honestly, I'm like, also, like, obviously this is all about the men because it's called Ladiators, which I just can't, like...
I mean, someone, even the name is horrible,
like, I'm not being funny, but someone was paid to come up with that name. Like, there is someone sat
people
there
in
with
a room
wages,
at ITV, sat there, like, chatted it out and thought, yeah, this is a goer.
Someone has just bought their lunch with money that was given to them for thinking of that. Like, that makes me feel ill as well.
I just like to think that it's two ITV, like interns. Work experience kids that have gone out on their lunch and gone, God, guys, guess what? I've come up with this series.
But, like, I think about the women in this as well. Like, can you imagine if your boyfriend came home and was like, oh, my God, we should apply for the show, and you said yes? Like, because it's a bit
so
vague.
So it's a couple scene. The girlfriends will be there with them, is that
so
right?
So the girlfriends are on the sidelines, and then they have their own challenges. Like, that will probably be like, oh, like a supermarket sweep, but in Debenhams.
Make a sandwich.
Like, make a sandwich. Like, and just, oh, just all of it, just... It just sounds horrible.
I mean, obviously we have to say that it's not gone to air yet, and ITV obviously haven't even confirmed the news of it yet. It's just a report at this stage. But what I want to ask you is that obviously this isn't the first show that's been based on a terrible concept that has managed to make it to air. Are there any old ones that you think are potentially worse than this?
I think there's been lots of terrible ones. The only one I can think which was kind of problematic in, like, the social and moral way was that Playing It Straight show.
I was just thinking about that.
Where the woman... Was it, like, the woman in the house with, like, 15 guys?
Yeah, and then six of them were gay, but it was all
and
kept
she
a secret.
Had to end up with a straight one to get the money or something.
Yeah.
And I remember this because this was on when I was at uni and we were obsessed with it in the worst way. And we probably didn't actually realise how problematic it was at the time. But now looking back,
I feel like things have come a long way, though, even since, you know, in the last 5 years.
It's not that long, is it?
It's not that long. But I do, that was what sprung to mind for me as well. In the same way as you're saying about, like, lad culture, we feel like we've come so far past this, and, you know, attitudes around sexuality and things like that. And it's just, I just don't understand it.
No. See, make a bad show, but make a bad show like that Flock Starts one where all of the celebrities had to learn how to, like, round up sheep. Or, like, The Farm when Rebecca Lewes did that thing with the pig that we all remember.
No one,
like,
talks about it anymore.
Make a terrible show, but you don't need to make it offensive.
Like Sugar Free Farm. That's such a terrible idea for a show. But if you get the GC involved, hello, babes.
Maybe
then, like, it's going to be TV gold. Like, you don't have to be offensive to make a terrible TV show, I think.
Yeah, just make a shit one.
I think as well, like,
we want trash, just non-offensive.
Yeah, like
trash.
That. What's that one with the, like, it's like It's a Knockout, but
total Wipeout.
Yeah, like all those people, and they go to Argentina to film it. Like, they get a proper holiday, and they, like, run.
Isn't
along
that because
those...
of health and safety regulations?
Like, just people running along those giant balls, looking like idiots. Like, that's what I want to see. I don't want to see, like, a bunch of lads who should be at Liquid, like, with
Oceana, like, on a Friday night.
Oh, God.
I think as well, like, they're not terrible shows, but I kind of have a bit of a problem with, like, dating shows that is just, they focus very much on straight couples. So it's like Take Me Out Now, we've got And Love Island as well. As much as I love Love Island, it is very sort of like, let's pair men and let's pair women and let's get them together. It's kind of like, well, no, I kind of think that Bosses Now should kind of be seeing beyond this idea, kind of like First Dates are. And I think that's a great example of just how normalised everything should be.
And Dinner Date as well. Dinner Date has...
Yeah, it does.
Same-sex, like LGBT couples as well. Yeah, I just think... Oh, they just feel like, I don't know, because the thing is, I then really second guess myself because this show's probably going to air and get loads of people tuning in.
Well, see, that's what I'm wondering now. I want to see the viewing figures for this.
Yeah, I bet it'll be good.
I'm going to tune into the first episode just to hate on it, to be honest.
I can probably get a blog out of this. I'm going to stop talking.
Well, Ladiators might be coming to a screen near you sometime soon in the future. We will have to wait and see on that one. Moving on, I want to talk about Liam and Cheryl, or Chiam as the kids are calling them these days. Liam's been on the promo trail for his debut solo single, Strip That Down, this week. And barely a day has gone by where we've not heard something new about their relationship. So just today, he's kind of been talking about how Cheryl tried to dump him, in the early days of their relationship. He's even written a song about it, which is apparently going to be on the new album. Now, I know what he's saying isn't kind of explicit here. He's not kind of talking about their sex lives or anything like that.
That's next week.
That's when the album comes out. Yeah. But a lot of fans are kind of really surprised to see how much he is kind of revealing about their lives. I guess because Cheryl is so kind of fiercely private. But what I want to ask is, what do you make of it? Should he kind of be drawing the line? Do you think he's just kind of saying this stuff to sell the record? Or is he kind of just a guy that's in love?
I'm going to go ahead and say I stopped listening to anything he said after he claimed that the wink he gave her on The X Factor was a licensed weapon in the UK.
Oh, and
is a quote that came from his lips. And I feel like I just want to draw the line under that and just, you know, pretend like none of this is happening.
Oh, my God, that's horrible.
I know. I can see you physically recoiling in your chair.
Richard just wants to, go in a hole and die.
I need to scrub my skin.
I think what my problem with it is, it's just really cringy. Like,
it is. They're that couple on Facebook.
Yeah,
I don't
want to
see it.
You know what they are?
Tone it down.
They would be on the celebrity version of Ladiators. It would be Liam, in his toga or whatever. Oh, I just find it really... I'm really biased against couples anyway, but I find it so oversharey. I just don't care. I don't want to read. I'm also if I was for some reason releasing a debut single, I like to think one of my friends would say to me, maybe don't tell that story of how you nearly got dumped. Yeah. You're not going to because he's a young guy, you know, and he's going solo for the first time ever. I just can't imagine a situation where you look back and feel glad that you told the nation that.
Yeah. He's kind of 23. He's he's a bit young. He's a bit naive. And I don't know maybe whether I'm being a bit harsh on him. But I just kind of think she has kept such a fiercely sort of guarded secret. We didn't even know that she'd split up with her husband, until she kind of got together
with
Liam.
Well, she never even announced that she was pregnant for me, did she?
Exactly. So it's kind of weird that she's kind of not allowing him, because he has got his right to
free speech. But she must be allowing
him,
though.
Did you see her tweet this morning, or maybe it was last night, about the hashtag strip me down or strip whatever the title of the song is.
As long as she's not asking to strip him down.
And then it said, this is not a personal request, wink, wink. Cheryl, enough. Enough.
I love you, but stop this now.
Yeah.
Of course, Liam, he's not the first celebrity to kind of overshare. There's a lot of people worse out there than him. We had Anthea Turner this morning kind of saying about how much sex she's getting, which is great. And I kind of love that kind of jovial kind of overshare. But I'm going to ask you, are there any celebrities that you just wish would zip it? Or equally, are there kind of anyone that you find hilarious when they chat? A load of rubbish.
It's really hard. Because I'm one of those people who actively hates on, but also really, really enjoys learning about the inner workings of people's lives.
See, as a Keeping Up with the Kardashians fan, I have to admit that I do love a classic Kim K overshare. When her and Kanye were trying for a kid, and there's this scene where Khloe comes into the dressing room and Kim sat there in a dressing gown. And they're having a chat for quite a while. And then Chloe's like, did you just have sex? And it turns out that she got Kanye to go there because she was ovulating at that point and just did it in the dressing room and then let Chloe sit on the chair, which is disgusting.
I love that.
But also my favourite thing.
I just love the Kardashians too much, because I would not put up with that shit.
I think the problem is, I find Liam, And Liam is not to my tastes. He's just, he seems like a good guy. He's not a bad person, but he's just not the sort of celebrity that I kind of like. One person I do like is Rita Ora. I could listen to her talk. Like, if she came out, I just think she's brilliant. It's like, I just really appreciate people like that. Just, yeah.
The thing is with Liam as well, it's not necessarily the amount that he is spewing, but some of the stuff he said recently as well. So he was saying that he was expecting to get a call during the night from Cheryl saying that she wanted to hire a nanny because she couldn't cope anymore. Like, this is something he said yesterday, I think. A lot of what he's saying is just really, oh, it just makes my toes curl.
The thing is, I love it. So I love Ruth and Eamon.
I knew you were going to say that.
Here we go.
So Ruth and Eamon are classic, classic oversharers. They're always talking about their sex lives. But I think the difference with someone like them is that it comes from kind of a place of fun and a place of jest.
Yeah,
and they're just being a bit silly and a bit ridiculous. Whereas with someone like Liam, you're getting very much the impression that he's deadly serious, and it just gets a bit cringy.
Desperate.
There's no hint of irony.
Like, Eamon and Ruth, they're like, yeah, we're going to have sex tonight. We're going to like grind on the sofa when we get home.
Can I just say, Ash is doing a little like hip swivel while he's saying this.
That is disturbing. It's like the loose women are kind of the same. I can't remember. There was a really good one though. They've had lots of good ones.
Was it Linda Robson? I feel like Linda Robson.
It might have been. Every so often, yeah, they just come out with these stories, and I'm just like, you know what? That is brilliant. Like, but it is. It's because it comes from a different place. It's very natural. It's very funny.
Well, it's not forced, is it? And they don't. They're not selling it.
I mean, Rachel, we know that it's your ultimate ambition to be on the Loose Women panel. Would you be oversharing about your sex life?
Oh my god, I would overshare so much. Like, and I am the most private person. Like, no one at work knows a single thing about me. But oh my god, to like, in case you're listening, ITV, I know I slagged off all your other shows.
But I'm here now.
I am here for the Loose Women panel.
Well, just a warning to anyone that's ever dated Rachel, you better pray to God that she never gets that spot on the Loose Women panel. Anyway, we like to finish around these parts on a quiz, but actually in a twist on the usual format, I'm going to hand this over to McGee, otherwise known as Rachel McGrath, because quite frankly, I'm inept at making quizzes and hosting them. So. Over to you.
So excited. For the first time in Intuit history, I have a printout, everyone. I am prepared. I also have it written down here, which is basically what I just said. That if anyone wants me to present a quiz, if you like what you hear, I am here for hire at a very low cost. So
Channel 5.
Just to let everybody know. So this week's quiz is inspired by Katy Perry's latest song, Swish Swish, which for multiple reasons, which you can read about on HuffPost UK, is apparently about Taylor Swift. That's what everybody is saying. Can't confirm it yet. Ooh. Swish, swish, swift, swift. There's a lot of ties. So with this in mind, this week's quiz is about songs that various people have written to slam others. So I've got...
diss tracks.
Diss tracks. I've got Daniel's magic bong.
Oh, she's
not a euphemism.
In her sweaty palms.
Magic box.
So on each piece of carefully folded paper, there is a artist and the song title, and you need to tell me who it was about, basically.
Okay.
It's quite simple.
Wow. Okay.
There are some easier ones in there, as Sophie is not of the Ents team, but if you don't pick them, that's not my fault. So
I'm not being funny. I just need
my
to
hands
point out
this.
I'm quite a stickler for rules in the quiz, so you'll probably find that out.
Okay. Who wants to go first?
I feel like I should.
I think you should.
Is that okay?
Make sure they're not stuck together. Do you want to take the box?
I'll take the box. Oh, they are very stuck together.
Yeah, they are. But they're also folded.
Okay, I'm going to put the box.
I was going to say, Rachel, you've literally done origami in this box.
It's like a swan.
So if you read out what it says.
Okay, so I have Justin Timberlake, Cry Me a River, my anthem of the early noughties. You know, I feel like I'm just going to go for straight up Britney Spears. I don't know if that's... Oh,
1 point to Sophie. No, that's correct.
Amazing.
It was indeed.
Can you hire me for the
answer? That's
team?
One of the easy ones gone.
Daniel, better come back or I'm going
to... I feel like that's like an early start. Right, I'm going in.
I hope you get a really hard one.
So do I.
So I have got, if I could ever unfold this piece of paper, Eminem, The Warning.
Ooh.
God, I don't even know the song, let alone
do you want
about
a clue?
Well, Rachel, I'd quite like it if you sang some of it to me.
I've got
to be
a
honest.
Line from it, but I'm not going to rap it at you because that's no. So one of the lines from it is, the only reason I dissed you in the first place is because you denied seeing me. Now I'm pissed off.
Is this person famous?
Yeah, all of the answers are famous people.
I don't know, so I'm going to go Dido.
Oh, close. No, that wasn't close. That was a lie. The answer is Mariah Carey.
Ooh. Yeah. Okay, didn't know they had history, but there we go.
There you go. Always a lesson on the quiz.
All right. I feel like I started with a fluke.
You can do it. Not that making favourites.
It's not hard to beat me in the quiz.
Okay, so I have Gwen Stefani, Holla Back Girl.
I've got a clue.
Okay,
if
great.
You want it.
Yeah, I do. Want
so it. Basically, the story behind this is that this person called Gwen a cheerleader in an interview with Seventeen magazine, and then she just never forgot about it and hit back at her years later.
Oh, is that why it was like, two times I've been around?
Yeah. So she was like, she got called a cheerleader, so then she was like, you know what, I'm going to do it and make a massive banger, which is what she did.
Okay, so even with that clue, my mind is still blank. So I am just going to go for... Ooh, who could I... Can I go for Britney Spears again? That's who I'm going to go
you
for.
You can, but you've got no points.
Got no points, that's fair.
The answer is Courtney Love.
Oh,
ooh, I wouldn't have guessed that.
I wouldn't have guessed
she
that.
She clung on to that for quite a long time as well.
How many years before was she described as the cheerleader?
Well, the interview was with Seventeen magazine.
Yeah, so it's not, isn't it?
Okay, I'm
going... Sophie's still in the lead with 1 point.
I'm going in. I want that trophy.
Drake, back to back. So I don't... I know Drake's had quite a few exes, but... I only know Rihanna, so I'm going to say Rihanna.
Oh, you're wrong.
Oh.
So it was actually aimed at Meek Mill, who was going out with Nicki Minaj at the time. I don't know if they're still together. They had a lot of beef.
I would have also guessed Rihanna if it makes you feel any better.
Don't make him feel better, Sophie.
Oh, no. I can see who it is as I'm unfolding it. Oh, actually, no. I thought it was something else. Okay, so I have Carly Simon, You're So Vain.
What
one
song?
Of the most famous diss tracks. So,
but I don't know who it's about.
She's confirmed. So there were multiple options. Okay. So she confirmed that the second verse is about this person.
Was this the verse that literally just got released about 3 months ago for the first time?
No, this is... Time? Oh, I don't know. I know that's three. I can't remember if it was this song. I can give you a clue.
Will it be a helpful clue?
It'll be a helpful clue. Okay. Right, I think it will. Okay. Ash will 100% get it after this, so you have to stay silent, okay?
Can I pass it to Ash, or is that not a rule of
no,
the
don't
quiz?
Do it, because then you'll lose.
Okay, okay.
The clue is La La Land.
I do know this.
Well, now all I can think about is Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling, and it's obviously neither of them.
It's not any of them.
I think you'll find it's... La La Land.
Yeah, no, sorry.
No,
I'm
Ash,
out of this.
Do you want to reveal who
Warren
it is?
Beatty.
It is Warren Beatty.
No way! Yes.
Warren, responsible for the whole mess
saga.
Up Beatty.
Fine.
You don't get a point for that, though, because that was Sophie's question. So.
I think I should get a point for my amazing Faye Dunaway impression.
You can have half a point.
Right, I'm going in. I have got Kanye West, Facts.
Isn't that bizarre that I did the quiz and there was a Kanye quiz?
Oh, that's funny. Again, I have no idea.
I can give you a clue.
I'm going to need a clue.
So it is, if blank didn't have Drizzy, man, they would have nothing. So Drizzy being Drake.
Oh, I would, again, I'd just say Rihanna, but I know they're mates, so...
You have Britney Spears. That's what I'd have to me.
Who's... Oh, I don't know. Rihanna.
No. Have you got a better guess?
Jay-Z.
No, this one is hard, and I will admit that I shoehorned it in because I wanted a Kanye question. The answer is Nike. Like trainers, shoehorned.
Oh my
gosh. Nice.
Why was this beef with Nike?
Because they wouldn't give him a contract, so he was like, yo, whatever, I'll make my trainers myself.
Dealing with Adidas. Nice.
Why, okay.
So I have David Bowie, Teenage Wildfire.
This is hard. Do you need a clue?
Yeah, I think.
Okay, so Bowie thought that this person, who was an electronic artist, was doing a really poor job of imitating him. I've written down, this person does have some bangers, though.
Can we have names of any of the
bangers? And one girl band trio did a cover of one of their songs.
I mean, girl band trio, my mind is immediately rushing to Atomic Kitten.
Oh, me too. Are there no other girl band trios?
There is one other.
Sugar Babes.
Okay, and they covered one of these songs.
They covered one of this person's songs, yeah.
Oh, I think I know.
Sophie, have you got
I
any idea?
Song.
Haven't.
Is this song Freak Like Me?
It is.
But I can't think who originally sung it.
If Ash sings a verse from Freak Like Me, does he get a point?
and we can to the early
due to copyright reasons we're gonna have to close. The answer is Gary Numan.
My dad will kill me.
Okay, so I've got to get this point to stay in the game, right?
Yeah, so you're on half a point.
That
because
has
I was
been
very
the
generous
case for about five questions.
Oh, I know what this one is.
Lana Del Rey, So Legit.
So this is a track that actually leaked online. It was supposed to be on Lana Del Rey's album. Do you want one of the lines from it?
Yeah, go on then.
So in the song, Lana Del Rey says, "I know you're selling 20 million. Wish they could have seen you when we booed you off in Williamsburg."
Shade.
Ooh. Lana.
This is quite a high profile, like. Person.
Is it Beyonce?
No, it's Lady Gaga.
But they're pals, aren't they?
Yeah, but then she went in. Who knew?
I was gonna say, well, originally I thought like, oh, Gaga, but I was like, oh no, they're mates. She did not know that.
We've all learned
according
something.
To the research I did just before this.
Wikipedia says.
So this was, so I did nine, hence why there's one left. So
do I need to do this one?
You
I
can do it to extend
Ash.
Your lead. Also, okay. I think you could get this one.
Do you think?
Yeah.
This is incredibly stuck together. I think I might get this. Well, overconfidence. Taylor Swift, We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together. Is it Harry Styles?
Wrong.
Or Jonas?
Wrong.
And what are the other ones?
I don't want to shade Taylor Swift, but how much longer is it?
We have got hours. Hiddleston? No, too late. Oh, it's an earlier one, isn't it? Do you know?
I think I do. Is it Jake Gyllenhaal?
It is indeed.
Yeah.
It's tiebreak.
Well, that I'm going
to
say
we can agree to share that trophy.
You
I
are
think.
So diplomatic. Normally, we try and do over Ash in every way possible.
You do.
I'm new to this. Sorry.
And before you get a chance to do that, I'm going to end this podcast. We'll be back next week when Daniel will be here to return and save the show, much like Dermot on the X Factor. Although, if that makes me Ollie Murs, I might retract that statement. Anyway, don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes. Have a great week. Bye.